Welcome to Firstline. My name is Aubrey Ann Jackson, and I am a PGY1 psychiatry resident physician. In this podcast, we discuss whole person health and wellness through an osteopathic lens, holistically addressing the body, mind, and spirit. We also discuss topics important to medical trainees, including pre-med students, medical students, and residents. Thanks for joining me. Hello, I'm back with another episode about residency interviews and the ERAS and MATCH season. So I have a few other episodes that talk about creating your ERAS application, writing your personal statement, and my episode from last week talked about what questions to ask during your interviews. But this episode is about the most common questions that I got during my interviews and ones that you really want to prepare for ahead of time. So my philosophy on this is that you shouldn't sound like you're reading from a piece of paper or reciting a memorized answer. However, it is useful to think about how you're going to answer a question ahead of time and even write down some bullet points of different points that you want to make during your answer. So with that, you will seem like you have an answer that is authentic and conversational instead of something that you're reciting from memory or reading off a piece of paper. Now that many interviews are virtual, that is something that you could, in theory, be able to do. Just know that it's pretty obvious to someone on the other side of the screen if your eyes are darting back and forth as if you're reading something from your computer screen, and even worse if it looks like you're looking down on a piece of paper. So keep that in mind with this. However, like I said, it helps to know what questions are going to come up and think about it ahead of time. So I went through the MATCH last year as I'm recording this. So I was in the 2023 MATCH cycle, and I'm recording this as a first year resident who MATCH at a competitive program. So that's kind of my background. After many of my interviews, I wrote down what types of questions I was asked so that if they came up in a subsequent interview, I was better prepared for them, especially if I didn't have a good answer. And I also took these notes because I knew that with my podcast, I would want to share with applicants in the future what types of questions are most frequent. And I was planning on using this list to do mock interviews with via Fiverr. I have quite a few services offered on Fiverr, and I was thinking about doing mock interviews. However, I realized that I didn't really have the time for mock interviews. It's quite different to have some downtime here and there, even in just a few minutes at a time, to look over ERAS applications and personal statements and letters of interest and letter of intent. But it's quite another thing to schedule out an hour of my time while working full-time as a psychiatry resident and with a baby at home. So I realized that I didn't have the time to schedule those hour sessions, even though several of my listeners and my previous Fiverr clients have asked me if I was offering mock interviews. But I really made the decision that it was just not feasible. And I mean, there's a price for everything, but I really like keeping my prices low and affordable. So I didn't feel justified offering a higher price point for my mock interviews. So what I'm getting at here is that I'm using the information that I prepared in order to provide mock interviews, and I'm instead using that to provide this information for free for all of my listeners. So because I I chose to do that. Now, this information is easily accessible to anyone. So I'd love it for you to continue with this freely given information and share it with some of your co-applicants so that more people can benefit from this free information. Though maybe in future years I will offer mock interviews, I will only do so if I am able to find the time for it and that I can offer it at an affordable price. So I hope you appreciate this information that I'm providing. A lot of these questions would be ones that I would include when doing mock interviews, and a lot of the advice that I offer are things that I've thought about when holding these mock interviews. And my philosophy on mock interviews is that it is super helpful if you can get it, but I'm not unique in wanting to earn money for my time and expertise. So it's hard to get attending physicians and current residents to spend an hour with you, like a half hour to do the actual interview and then another half hour to give you feedback. So if you can get it, it's great. If you can afford to pay someone that has expertise, even better, because then they're incentivized to do a good job. But I know that for most applicants, this is not very feasible. Some schools will offer mock interviews with their administrator members and sometimes even faculty. But the quality of this varies greatly because those faculty members probably have not been in your shoes in a very long time, and the administrators have never been in your shoes. So the quality varies there, but anything is better than nothing. Even getting someone outside of medicine to hear your answer to tell me about yourself can be helpful because they can give you some pointers about how you carry yourself and your confidence and the flow of how you speak and little personal things like that. So I think it is worth your time if you can get it, but it is not the end of the world if you're not able to do a mock interview. It is also helpful to stand in front of a mirror and practice some of the questions that I'm going to mention here. And you can also, I found it really helpful to time myself to read a question and to time myself with my answer and to, in my case, usually cut down my answer a little bit so I'm not rambling on. But other people might have the opposite problem where they need to elaborate on their answer a little bit more. So in that case, you're practicing and you're keeping yourself to a reasonable time constraint. So I found it was helpful to never have an answer longer than 2 minutes. And to, depending on the question, usually you'd want an answer at least 30 seconds long. So those are kind of the parameters I would typically use. So keep that in mind with these. So one of the questions you definitely want to prepare an answer for is when an interviewer asks you, tell me about yourself. So with this, a lot of people trip up on this request or this question because it's so broad. So you have a lot of freedom with it, but there's a few things that you want to focus on in your response. So this is one of the questions that you do want to get closer to that 2 minute mark, but you definitely don't want to go too long with this. So I think it's a good template to start out by saying where you're from, briefly mention how you became interested in medicine, and I would also include how you became interested in your specialty and focus on that more than the other things I mentioned. You can also talk a little bit more about your personal side outside of academics. So maybe a few things that you like to do in your spare time, or you can talk about your family, maybe your upbringing. When you talk about where you're from and where you grew up, you can mention your family. Anything that provides better context of who you are. And of course, you are not expected to include everything about yourself or rehash your entire application, because this is just usually used as an opening question to kind of frame the rest of the conversation. And perhaps the interviewer will think of follow-up questions to ask based off of your response. So this is one you definitely want to practice and know how to organize different information so it flows nicely and doesn't seem like scattered details about yourself. I am now providing personalized assistance specifically to medical students. I can help with editing your CV for away rotations or other opportunities. I can aid in revisions for your personal statement, and I can help edit your ERAS application. I will catch your grammar and style mistakes and also provide feedback on content revision so you can craft documents that make you more competitive. There are so many expensive services out there that charge hundreds to thousands of dollars on reviews, which is why I'm offering a much more affordable service with different price packages based on your needs. While many services out there are led by staff members who are years to decades removed from their experience as medical students, I'm uniquely positioned to help you as someone who has been through this process recently and as someone with professional writing and editing experience. Use the link in this episode description to learn more about the services I offer for individualized help. So another question you are very likely to be asked is why you're interested in blank specialty. So whatever program you're interviewing for, you'll need a good answer for this, probably again closer to that 2-minute mark. It's best to be specific with this, and also even if you didn't choose your specialty until your third year, it helps to highlight different characteristics or experiences that you've had even before that, that you felt led into your decision to choose that specialty. So for this, you do want to be familiar with your application and different experiences you've had in the past in order to mention these. And you also want to be aware of the cliches about your specialty so that you can avoid mentioning them. So with any surgical specialties, the cliche is that you enjoy working with your hands. You can still include the sentiment, but make sure you're saying it in a different way. So anything that's the equivalent of, I wanted to become a doctor to help people, is something that you want to avoid, and that's something that's going to be specialty dependent. So for this, it requires a lot of introspection. It's hard for me to give you an answer for this question, so I can really only provide some guidance, but really take a lot of time to reflect on this question and prepare how to answer it, because it's very easy if you don't have something prepared to kind of blabber on and on, or to start saying things that you don't really want to say. Like, what you don't want to do is talk about how you were previously interested in a different specialty and how you decided against that specialty. You do not want to take up any interview time talking about why you're not interested in some other specialty. You want to focus on the positives, which is to focus on why you love your specialty. You don't want to say that you're interested in a specialty because of any process of elimination. You want to speak in the positive about what you love about your specialty. Kind of alongside this, a question that I often got was, what other specialty would you consider if you couldn't apply to this specialty? So you want to make sure that you are choosing a specialty that has some overlap with your specialty of choice, because it wouldn't really make sense if for example, you were applying to psychiatry and your backup specialty would be radiology. There's not really too much overlap between the two. Psychiatry is a very direct patient oriented specialty, whereas radiology is a very technical specialty that does not involve as much direct patient experience. So I think family medicine is always a good one to pick for this, but you can also think of something that kind of overlaps with your subspecialty interest, or just use this as a way to emphasize another characteristic of yourself that you want to, or another interest that you like. So a good one is, if you're applying to family medicine, maybe you really love women's health, so you would say, I would do OBGYN. Maybe you're applying to dermatology and you've always been really interested in the relationship between skin conditions and autoimmune conditions. So maybe internal medicine would be a specialty that you would want to be interested in, then go the rheumatology route. Think it doesn't make sense for, if you're applying to a non-surgical specialty, to then say that your backup or your other specialty would be a surgical specialty. Think vice versa, it could work okay. If you're applying to general surgery and they ask you what kind of specialty you're interested, that you would be interested if you weren't applying surgery, I think it's a non-answer to just say a surgical subspecialty. But maybe if you're really interested in GI surgeries, you could say GI, something like that. Or maybe pathology. So those are just some ideas. There's not really a wrong answer here, but you do need to think about how to elaborate on your answer. You shouldn't just give that one word answer of what specialty you would apply to, but think about how your specialty overlaps with others so that you have a good answer for this. One question you should definitely prepare for is when an interviewer will ask you, why are you interested in this program? And you need to prepare this answer for every interview, because your answer is going to be very different program to program. You want to be as specific as possible. It really helps if you're able to touch on a few things here. So one is the location. You want to touch on why you want to work in whatever state or whatever city that the program is in. Two, you want to allude to either the patient population or the setting, like the urban, rural, suburban, or something specifically about the types of patients that are coming through. Three, you want to talk about something related to the curriculum. So if there's something you're specifically interested with in your specialty, see if that program offers some kind of didactics oriented to that, or an elective rotation, or that they have fellowship at the same institution. So something specifically educational. And then four, you can offer something else about the program, like maybe you connected with something in their mission statement, or there's faculty members that are doing research in something you're interested in, or you have spoken to a few of the current residents and they say that the program is really supportive and that they have great relationships with their preceptors and supervisors and attendings. So just something else about their program, which is usually going to be something that the program advertises pretty freely. And if you're not really sure what to include in this answer, it really helps to talk to current residents and ask them what the strength is of the program and kind of use that as one of your reasons. And you can even say that you heard about this from the current residents. That's fine to say. It shows that you are interested enough to ask current residents and you remembered their responses and you feel like those responses increased your interest in the program. I think that is good to include. But of course, there could be other things that you're interested in the program, but these are just a few examples of things to think about. Then you can get similar questions with programs that will ask you, why are you interested in training in this city, state, region? And for that, you want to be specific again. If you've lived in the region, the state or the city, you definitely want to mention that and mention why you want to return. Just because you live somewhere doesn't mean you necessarily want to train there. So if you have family in the area, that is great to include. If you have friends who live in the area, that's great. If you really like different kinds of activities or events that occur in the area, you can include that. And if you haven't ever lived in the area, definitely mention if you've visited before and what you like about the area. Now that interviews are virtual, you're not actually visiting in person, but it helps if you know that you have an interview coming up in a month to kind of plan a trip to the area and mention that when you interview. Say that, oh, I was able to come out a few weeks ago and I've really liked the area. This is what I liked about it. That shows that you're committed to see what the area is like before your interview, and it shows that you're really serious about the program. I do have a few more interview questions that I wrote down as the common ones that I was given during my interviews, and I do want to talk more about them, but this is going to have to be saved for a second episode on this topic. So I'm hoping to get these episodes out soon, just so I can help more of you in this season and subsequent application seasons. View the show notes for additional information about this episode and access the link to First Line's website. Don't forget to follow or subscribe to First Line on your favorite podcast app to hear a new episode every Monday. Thanks for listening.